Lord, make us masters of ourselves so that we may be servants of others. Take our hands and work with them. Take our mouths and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. On this last Sunday of the church year, known as Christ the King Sunday, we hear the closing statement on what really matters in the end. We see a dramatic portrayal of what is considered as the righteousness in the kingdom of God. This is the ethical vision of the kingdom of God. Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. For Christ the King who sits on the judgment throne, this is very personal. The King identifies himself with the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the stranger, the sick, and the one in prison. Thus, to give food and water to the hungry, or to offer shelter to the stranger, or to provide clothing to the naked, or to visit those in prison, is to show the same kind of kindness and compassion as you would to the Lord himself. Let us imagine ourselves being there on that day of reckoning, the day of final judgment. Everything hinges on how we answer on that day. As at the end of a school year, we have finals. The last day of the church year, we are given a preview of the final examination at the end of times or at the end of our individual lives. One aspect of this portrayal of the final judgment is very interesting for us hearers. Both the righteous and the unrighteous were unaware of the existence of suffering of the vulnerable, and they were totally surprised. The righteous did their deeds without any expectation of the reciprocal care. In contrast, the unrighteous were indifferent to the needs of the vulnerable. They were astounded that they were responsible. Reminds me of Martin Luther King Jr. once reminded that the tragedy of the civil rights movement was not that the evil done by the bad people. It was but the indifference of the good of the people. It was not the evil done by bad people, but the indifference of the good people. They both asked the Lord, when did or did not do these things? What does matter ultimately? Is it that how many times we say Jesus is our Lord and Savior? Or is it that how many times we say the Nicene Creed saying we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Or is it that how many times we have attended church? Or how well we ran the vestry, or did the altar guild, or did the acolyte duties, or did ushering, or how much we gave to the church? According to the readings for today, especially the Ezekiel text and the Gospel text, there is one dividing line, one litmus test. How did we take care of the vulnerable? Our texts seem to be saying that doing faith, not merely having faith, is the basis on which the King in glory will judge the subjects. Our readings also seem to challenge the notion that the salvation is a matter of personal piety and doctrinal purity. The scene of the final judgment portrayed here by Matthew is visionary ethical and it is political. And it calls the followers of Christ to think and act globally and locally. Right belief is important only as long as it is followed by faithful responsiveness. Matthew's judgment scene with all the nations gathered before him visualizes Christian ethics as not just individualistic, but also working as nations. Our reading calls us to view the body of Christ or Jesus' family as not just confined to the ones in the church or in our neighborhood, but as something that extends and embraces the whole wide earth. God's care embraces all things, but God has a special concern, a special option for the hungry, for the poor. And that is what is here that we are called to pay attention to. The implication is that we are not to draw distinctions between fellow citizen and a stranger, or fellow Christian and a non-Christian. God cares for the least of these and calls us to do likewise. Gospel text draws our attention to the presence of and passion of Christ. Christ the King is found amid the needy and the marginalized. The gospel reading, as we read today, we see Christ as an all-powerful king, as a caring shepherd, as a judge, as well as one who is in need and who is a victim. Justice given to the needy is justice for the king himself. And in Jesus' case, it was justice denied. Justice was denied to Jesus as he was led to the cross of Calvary. And his identification with the vulnerable was Christ's passion. This was what led him to the cross, his identification with the poor and with the underdog, his seeking justice for the poor, the challenging the strong. That was what led him to the cross. For Jesus, justice is not done until an environment in which the marginalized will have an ability to flourish in place. For Jesus and Ezekiel, an environment in which stacks are decked against the poor would be cause for struggle for justice. For Jesus and Ezekiel, an environment in which the fat ones continue to profit at the expense of the lean ones. Is it any different today? Just look at the tax reform being proposed. Today, the fat ones profit from tax breaks, while the lean ones, unaware that they are being exploited, support the fat ones, saying, yes, that is good, they are the job creators. How do we serve this Christ the King? We do that by serving the least of these with whom Christ is identified. He is present among the outcasts, the lowly, the downtrodden, and the marginalized. Now Jesus comes to us in the terrible disguise of the vulnerable in our society. He comes to us in the disguise of someone who comes to our pantry walking 3 miles to get a turkey for Thanksgiving meal. Jesus, the King of Kings, comes to us to the cold blue shelter in the disguise of someone who has no address other than a blanket under the bridge. Jesus comes to us in the disguise of a woman battered by her abusive husband and now hiding from him and asking for help from your rector's discretionary fund to relocate herself to be away from him. In a detention center in El Salvador, I saw Jesus in the disguises of teenage boys who are now persons non grata in the society in which they grew up. Serving God or not serving God has cosmic consequences. Serving the poor by identifying with them is what we are called for as citizens of the kingdom. It may implicate us, it may incriminate us, and it may ultimately cost our life itself. Just as the domination system of Jesus' time opposed him for his identification with and passion for the poor and the marginalized, the domination system of our time stands in opposition to giving justice to the poor, the needy, the least, the last, and the lost. It's a systemic problem. On the day of judgment, when Christ sits on that throne with all the angels in heaven present, all the nations are gathered before him. Imagine nation by nation, people by people, giving account to him whether they have been good to their fellow citizens who were the least among them. Imagine our country, when our country, the richest in the nation, the richest in the world, the country we boast as with a Judeo-Christian heritage and values, how would we answer the increasing gap between the rich and the poor? Yes, it is a systemic problem, and the solution lies in all of us as we, the citizens of the kingdom, become passionate about our call to seek justice for the least among us. How we as a nation help those who are poor, infirm, imprisoned, and otherwise estranged determines what our ultimate judgment will be. Identification with the poor and the vulnerable in our world, in our society, is love in action. Jesus' exhortation to identify with and serve the poor comes at the end of his public ministry and right before his own final trial and execution. Brothers and sisters, it isn't going to church ultimately that matters. It isn't being pure in our tradition or denominational background that ultimately matters. It isn't using the traditional liturgy and the incense and the bells that ultimately matters. What ultimately matters is our willingness to experience the other as God's beloved children. That is what ultimately matters.